This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Michael K. Show.
Patrick takes the snap, flips it right wide open. Adam Shaheen, the tight end, and he walks into the end zone untouched. Fitzpatrick takes the snap, play action, lobs one left side in the end zone, caught for the touchdown. Preston Williams, it's 14-0 Miami. The Jets look completely lifeless.
Wow.
It was ugly. We didn't play well, and they came after us, and we just weren't able to get a lot going.
Center is Fitzpatrick. Takes the snap back to throw. Throws it right. Caught. Walking into the end zone. Durham Smythe with a touchdown. It is one gut punch after another for this team. And plenty of it self-inflicted.
We practice hard every day. We stand up. You can't tell this at 1:16. I just think we got to do it on Sundays. We got to start fast as an offense.
We just got to keep grinding and keep trying to find ways to fix those, especially early mistakes, to help flip the game.
This is the Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN.
The Michael K. Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. We always love having this gentleman on with us. He's a great guest and obviously a great football mind. And that is Mike Tannenbaum, former GM of the Jets and the Dolphins, and now the GM of ESPN. Mike, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How are you today?
I'm doing great, Mike. Good to be with you guys.
You got it. Same here. Glad that you could be with us. Now, I don't ask this in a facetious way or an antagonistic way, but I said last week I wanted to ask you this. You hired Adam Gase with the Dolphins. What did you see then that all of us are not seeing now?
Well, you know, he came off the all-time points scored record for, in the history of pro football with Peyton Manning, 2 years earlier in Denver, and had really a long track record of developing young players at whatever position group he was with. And I know it seems like a million years ago, guys, but in 2016, you know, Coach Gase, with a very healthy Ryan Tannehill, we went to the playoffs and won 10 games in our first year. And when Ryan Tannehill was healthy, we had a good team in Miami. And I know that's a long time ago, especially in our town here in New York and in pro football. But to answer your question, that's what we saw.
Okay, so let me follow that up. Are you surprised of the Gase that we're seeing now? Is he a different coach, or is there a total lack of talent? He doesn't seem to have any imagination on offense at all, Mike.
Yeah, I'm very surprised, and you know, I'm sure you know no one's harder on Coach Gase than himself, and I'm sure nobody's more disappointed than him. And I thought certainly yesterday getting Perryman back in particular that was going to change things. I thought Flacco actually blew the ball fairly effectively against Arizona, so I was really surprised. And they were just overmatched up front. I thought they made some critical mistakes in the kicking game and some early penalties, but at the end of the day, they could not handle the front seven of Miami, and that was the difference in the game. And despite having Perryman back, I mean, we won't know how bad or good that signing was compared to losing Robbie Anderson, but, you know, it starts up front, guys. You know that. I know that. And it just, to me, they were overwhelmed up front.
And it's been, you know, the same song and dance. I mean, 0-6 and non-competitive, Mike. I mean, that's the scary thing. So when you look at this team, is this a coaching problem or a talent problem?
You know, Don, when you're 0-6 like this, it's really a combination of everything. And really what you're looking for is improvement. Like, you just want to start stacking a couple of first downs together, flip field position. Hopefully you get a break or two. And look for the bright spots, like a guy like Quinnen Williams or a couple other guys that maybe you could build around. But I think at the premium positions, look, I think Becton was a great pick, and I think he'll turn out to be a really good player. But beyond that, when you look at pass rushers, corners, you know, the other side of tackle, any other sort of like difference maker at receiver, it's thin. I mean, just to be candid, it's thin right now. So it's just hard to say what are the building blocks. So you have to look for the bright spots, and maybe, you know, Darnold will come back and he could put together, you know, to me, if Darnold's going to really take the next step, guys, at some point he's going to have to take this team on the back and say, hey, we may not win every game, but we're going to be competitive and I'm going to make a bunch of plays.
Does it make sense? I don't believe in tanking, Mike, but they are trading away their best players. McClendon goes after the game yesterday. He's one of their captains, and Le'Veon Bell was released. Does it make sense to try to get Trevor Lawrence now?
Well, I think it starts with the audience of your locker room. And I was very fortunate. I got hired by Coach Parcells and Coach Belichick in 1997. In 96, the New York Jets won one game under Rich Kotite and spent more money in free agency than anybody. In 97, we won nine games. In 98, we were in the championship game. So I don't believe in tanking philosophically. I don't think you need to do that. Look, we just saw the Miami Heat guys. They've lost LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh. Never had a draft choice in the top 10, and they were in the NBA Finals this year. So I don't believe in that philosophically. Now, I do know you're sitting here and you're saying, like, this guy could be Andrew Luck or Vinny Testaverde, and that's tempting. But I think first, second, and third, you got to establish what you stand for, a culture. And I always believe in win as many games as you can and then let the rest take care of it.
All right, so how does he keep his job other than just trying to convince Chris Johnson? What can be done here? Do you have faith that there's enough done where you say, I think he deserves to work with the Trevor Lawrence, or I think he deserves to take this team into to a third year?
You know, Don, it's a totally fair question. And if we sat here in the offseason, which we did, they played really well down the stretch last year. And you go back to the Luke Fox and the Simeons, it was really choppy there at quarterback. They played better. I thought Darnold was improving, and it's just been a massive step back. So I think you have to be concerned if you're the Jet management. But if you wanted to say, hey, let's just see what happens when Darnold comes back, and then we could reevaluate from there. But obviously, it has to get better and certainly quickly, especially in the market of New York. And all eyes will certainly start turning to Trevor Lawrence more, especially if he's this generational talent. But if you feel like, based on what Gase did last year, especially the last half of the season, he's earned the benefit of the doubt to a certain extent. And hopefully, again, they could start at least making progress. And to me, I thought we would have seen that yesterday, but the offensive line just couldn't hold up.
All right, I'm curious. As you were talking, I thought about this, because the reason that we feel that Gase got the job so quickly after he got fired from Miami is that Peyton Manning made this magical, beautiful, unicorn and rainbows type of phone call to Chris Johnson singing the praises of Adam Gase. So I'm wondering, Mike, did you get that phone call from Peyton as well?
I here's what I will say. Like, the process we went through was extraordinarily thorough. We had Dan Campbell as our interim coach for 12 games, and we told Coach Campbell we were going to operate in 100% transparency. We probably spoke to 50 or 60 people, and I just, out of confidentiality, I wouldn't say who that was or wasn't, except okay. to say that we were confident of who we were getting in Coach Gase. And again, you know, it really started off very well down in Miami. So, you know, if Peyton Manning spoke to Chris Johnson, that certainly wouldn't surprise me. And you have to understand, when you have a all-time great like Peyton Manning saying how good or smart, you know, Adam is, that's going to go a long way with an owner. So, again, I think asking Chris Johnson, you know, what ultimately, you know, made him make that decision is obviously his call. But I will say there was a lot of people that spoke very highly of Adam over the last few years.
I'm also curious, Mike, when you were with the Dolphins, and you're right, you did have that playoff team when Tannehill was healthy. There were reports after Adam left that he hated star players, that he wanted to get rid of them. And there was a history, Landry, Ajayi, the whole deal. And that's the same thing's happening here with the Jets. Did you sense that when you were there, that Adam doesn't want that superstar player?
Yeah, look, I don't think it's a one-size-fits-all approach, you know, especially nowadays. And there were certainly some players we moved on from for different reasons. But for who we moved on from, there were calls from other players like Julius Thomas and other players where it didn't work out, like skill players that had huge, huge years with Coach Gase in Denver or other places. So it's really going to work out with every player. But we acquired our fair share. If you go back and look, like Julius Thomas is probably the most notable, but there were others. That was not a problem we had in Miami. And mm-hmm. Look, Jay Ajayi, we moved on from, but we felt good. You know, we had Kenyon Drake, who obviously went on and played very well. You know, Jarvis Landry was a little bit of a cap issue as well. So we did move on from some, but I didn't sense that to be a significant problem.
And
And, Mike, all the defensive Gase is fine if we're talking about a quarterback's coach, if we're talking about an offensive coordinator. He is the head coach of a football team here, right? So, and so far, in because he's not going to make the playoffs this year, in four of the 5 years he's been a head coach, he has not made the playoffs. So with all the positives we say, does any of that apply to him as a head coach? Is it fair for me to be on the outside looking and say that maybe this is just not his forte? Maybe he's just better off being an offensive guy and not a head coach of a team.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, when all the cards are flipped over, that very well could be the case. I'm just saying, like, erring on the side of caution and patience, the dice are cast this year. And if I was looking at it and seeing if he can maximize Sam Darnold's ability, which is really question number one, because the Trevor Lawrence thing will take care of itself in the offseason. My focus would try to be, let's win as many games as possible. And Don, you're making a very fair point. Maybe at the end of the day, he isn't. And I'm not making this comparison, but we've seen other really good coaches get fired and move on and learn and then do really well, like in their next spot. Like Bill Belichick got fired in Cleveland. He spent a couple of years with Coach Parcells in New England. And obviously at the Jets, the rest is history. There's been a number of guys that have done better in their second or third spots. Pete Carroll's another one. So, again, I'm not saying it's going to turn out that way, but I'm just saying from an ownership perspective, if you want to know why they're being patient, that's what they're hoping for.
We always hear about culture, and Joe Douglas has been on with us. He wants to build a great culture. If you're the GM of this team, Mike, does it concern you that the defensive coordinator is kind of throwing the coach under the bus? And Gase came out yesterday and said, I didn't appreciate it, and we spoke about it. As a GM, would that give you pause?
100%. Totally unacceptable. I've said it before on Get Up. That's like the old Greg Williams tax. Like, he's a really good coach, but once in a while, he's just going to say something that's not acceptable. And the best leaders I've been around, they 100% accept blame, and they give out credit. It's the old expression, guys. Generals in the Army eat last, not first. It's always your fault. I was really disappointed seeing that. He knows better than that, especially when your audience, again, when you're speaking to the media in New York, you're talking to your locker room, but it's times 10 because of how much coverage there is. And he knew how inflammatory those statements were going to be, and they were not necessary.
All right. We agree that this team is light on talent. Joe Douglas has kind of been spared from criticism because he's only had the one draft, only one free agency class, but is it fair to say we should see more from Joe Douglas? Should this team have more talent based on just the one opportunity that Joe Douglas had?
Yeah, and Don, let me be clear. I like Joe a lot, have all the respect in the world for him. So I would just say, like, it has to be a grade of incomplete. He just traded for multiple first-round picks, for Jamal Adams, and we got to see how that plays out because, again, it looks like he got great value. Or I'm really intrigued by someone like Ashton Davis, who I think is a really intriguing player. So, and look, if we had a bet a dollar right now, I think we'd all say that Mekhi Becton, who was picked after Andrew Thomas, looks like he has a better chance of having a better career. So, look, I don't think things have been perfect. Losing Robbie Anderson for Perryman doesn't look like that's going to work out. But overall, I just think it's too soon. And when you hire somebody like Joe, you're saying, hey, like, let's give this man a chance, and we're going to go with him for the long term. So I think it's a little bit too soon. And knowing how prideful Joe is as well, like, this has to be tough on him as well.
Mike Tannenbaum, our ESPN NFL insider, is our guest here on the Michael Kay Show. So Keyshawn Johnson on the morning show today, Mike, said even if the Jets have the number one pick, they should not take the quarterback. They should actually build around Sam Darnold. Is that the way you look at it, or do you look at it differently if you have a chance at this maybe once-in-a-generation guy yet to grab Trevor Lawrence?
I'm on with Keyshawn every week, and he's contractually obligated to – save or refer to as many USC Trojans as possible. So it was Sam Darnold. This week we're talking about how, Ronald Jones single-handedly beat Green Bay yesterday. And, oh, by the way, that may have been, Tom Brady playing quarterback. So Keyshawn just can't help himself here. My gosh, it's an absolute no-brainer. If it plays out that way, guys, it's Trevor Lawrence. This guy is a combination of Andrew Luck, Vinny Testaverde. Do you know if the season ended today, he has more rushing touchdowns in his career than Kyler Murray? And Kyler Murray is a great athlete. So Trevor Lawrence, it's a no-brainer. And look, we've seen this market, guys. We saw Josh Rosen, he was a top 10 pick. Cliff Kingsbury comes in. They draft Kyler Murray number one, and they get a second-round pick from the Dolphins. And you're looking probably at a second or third-round pick for Sam Darnold. There's probably a dozen teams you start thinking about, like, over the next year or two, guys, where it could be teams like Tampa Bay and Jacksonville and New Orleans. There'll be a lot of teams, maybe even like San Francisco, that are going to need a quarterback. And I think they'll have a good market for Sam Darnold if he plays well. I don't know if it'll be a great one. So I think it's a no-brainer. And Keyshawn and I see that one differently.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
I know what the reality of the situation is with the Jets. I work with them long enough. We've talked about this before, how everything runs through the Johnsons, whether it be Woody or this situation, Chris, or maybe Woody again, depending on what happens with the election coming up next month. But doesn't it make sense, Mike, that if they do decide to part ways with Gase, that it should be Douglas's decision? I mean, the Johnsons have had to hire people outside the organization, whether it be Wolf or Casserly, to hire someone, getting a recommendation from Peyton Manning. The Johnsons are not football people. They might own a football team, but they're not football people. If Joe Douglas is a football guy, shouldn't he be the one to determine who the next head coach is?
Yeah, and Don, that's why you're paying him, you know, to do that. And I think you're going to do it, you know, really, I always define that position as the point guard of information. And in a situation like that, you're going back to ownership or all other decisions. It's, you know, between ownership and the head coach. And clearly, the people in the room should be the Johnsons and Joe Douglas making that decision. And I would like to think that's the way it would happen. And, you know, that's why you want to bring in someone of Joe's background. You know, he's been with a couple of good organizations. He's paid his dues, and I would think that would be the process. But knowing Joe, I'm sure he's doing everything he can, you know, right now to, you know, steer the ship as best he can to hopefully put a couple wins together this year, and maybe it doesn't come to that at the end of the year. But if it did, absolutely, he has to be in the room to help make that decision.
Mike, let's shift over to the other side of MetLife Stadium. What do you see in Daniel Jones? Are you encouraged by things you see, or are you discouraged?
I would say I'm a little glasses half empty right now, and I put something out yesterday on social media that, you know, if Joe Judge is coming in and he's saying that the standards are the standards, and Andrew Thomas gets benched, which I love for being like, I love that he was late, but I love the fact that he has standards. Daniel Jones turned the ball over at Duke. That was my big concern of him coming out. And heading into yesterday, he was second in the NFL with turnovers, and he's killing his team when he turns the ball over. So when you look at, in particular, Baker Mayfield with Kevin Stefanski, Dwayne Haskins with Ron Rivera, and Daniel Jones with Joe Judge, those three young quarterbacks are inherited. And no matter what other people say or the spin, I'm just telling you the truth from behind the scenes. When head coaches inherit players, it's a different standard. It's a different paradigm. And I would be really surprised that if at some point, if these turnovers keep going, I could see him benching Daniel Jones. He just doesn't have as much in him as Dave Gettleman does. So I think there's some things to like. His athleticism is somewhat underrated, but the turnovers are catastrophic, and they have to improve quickly.
I've got to piggyback on the question we opened the show with. If you're the GM of the Washington football team, and Rivera goes for two there, is your head exploding up in the press box?
Not really. You know, that's who Ron is. When you hire him, you know, he's walking through the door. You know what you're getting, good and bad. And, you know, he's trying to send a message to his team that, hey, like, let's go win right now. And when you look at the analytics, I don't think it was that materially different, Mike. So I understand conservatively, hey, kick the extra point. You're playing well, going to overtime, but that's who he is. And I think he's trying to change the way they're thought of there. And that's who Ron is. That's what he's done in Carolina for a number of years.
No, yeah, I get all that and the percentages. But, Mike, if you watch the game, I'm sure you try to watch every single game. The Giants couldn't score in that defense, so they're not scoring a touchdown. You are going to get the ball in overtime. It's like you don't have faith in your team if you're going for two there.
Yeah, I was with you. I was watching it, and I agree with you. Logically, I am 100% with you. But if you said to me, what is he going to do, I would have bet the house that he was going to go for two just because that's who he is. And I think for him, he probably just said, you know what, I believe in this quarterback. he'll make a play maybe with his feet. It'll be a broken play. And for years, that's what he did in Carolina.
All right, what about what Romeo did in Houston?
Yeah, that was showing no confidence whatsoever in his defense. Basically, what he was saying is, they're going to score. They're going to score a two-point play. So I think he telegraphed what he thought, which was, this is our best chance to win. We have Deshaun Watson. We're paying Deshaun Watson $39 million. I'm going to bet that he could get the ball in from, you know, 2 yards out. And he told me everything we needed to know about the Houston Texan defense.
Now, I was watching Get Up today, and I thought Greenberg had a great line where, you know, it's such a week-to-week league where we change our opinions so quickly. And today, Mike, I'm hearing whispers about how long can the Browns go with Baker Mayfield. He's now the weak part of that offense. Do you see it that way?
100%. You know, he's 26 in the league in average yards per attempt, and he is a height-diminished and skill and really speed-diminished quarterback. He likes to bail out to his right. He ran a 4.85, and he can't outrun people, and he needs a clean pocket. And we've talked about that for months, that, you know, Drew Brees' success has been, he's had a firm pocket in New Orleans for years where he could step up, and Baker Mayfield gets balls batted. And on that first interception of Minka Fitzpatrick, they're playing cover one, and Minka, and one of the reasons we drafted in Miami, is he's so good at anticipating throws over the middle. And Baker never saw him. He has trouble seeing over bigger linemen, both offensive and defensive linemen. And that's a well-built team in Cleveland, and I think he is their wink, wink.
Who do you think, if you had to pick, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, Carson Wentz, who's the most likely to be the quarterback of their team next season?
Ooh, Peter. I would say Wentz right now. You know, he played well yesterday. He, in the second half, he really rallied. And again, I think it goes back to, like, when you're inherited by somebody else, it makes a difference. And all those other guys were inherited by somebody else. And I think Wentz, the problem there is this. They have one starting offensive lineman from Jason Kelce, the center. They've lost four offensive linemen. And we're talking about the Jets and their struggles up front. Think about if you're Philadelphia, you're on four backups. So if I had to bet a dollar, I'd say Wentz has the best chance.
And who do you think has a chance at a better career, Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold?
I would say Darnold because he's bigger and he's a better athlete. I think with Mayfield, when the pocket gets compressed, guys, he bails out to his right, which he did in Oklahoma. He could get away with it at that level. And I think his lack of his skill set isn't that high. It's just not. He's not big enough and he's not fast enough. So, and we keep seeing that with the better front sevens like Baltimore and Pittsburgh, he's a diminished player. And he plays well. And they've done a great job of getting him out of the pocket with boots and waggles and a lot of the things that Minnesota did with Kubiak and Stefanski. But I just don't think, when you look at the physics of the game, what we saw yesterday was not a fluke.
Well, I tell you, I want to keep you on forever. I have one more. Has Kirk Cousins lost the ability to play football, and is he going to get benched?
Yeah, you know, we talked about that. Well, here's what I would say is, they have some young players there. You know, they traded Stephon Diggs. I think they're going to hit big on Justin Jefferson, the first-round pick out of LSU. They drafted Irv Smith a year ago. It's going to take some time there. I thought it's an interesting juxtaposition, guys. Like, Kirk Cousins says, I have to play better or get benched. I like that. That's like the opposite of Greg Williams. Greg Williams is blaming everybody else except himself. Cousins, at least as a vet, could say, like, I could take the bullets. These young guys can't, so he does need to play better, but at least he said the right things. And, you know, that's a team that lost three starting corners last year. They drafted Gladney in the first round. They'll get better, in my opinion. They were one of the teams that was really hurt by no offseason program, no training camp, because they're so young at corner and at first.
Great stuff, Mike. Really great stuff.
Thanks,
Thank
Mike.
You for coming on.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.